Okay, we're ready to start. If you would, we'll start by opening our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. We'll be going all over the Bible today, at least 10 places or 10 different passages we'll look at before we're through today. And so if you're not familiar with the scriptures, I hope you're sitting with someone who can help you find these places as quick as you can. Today we'll be talking about our eyes. Kind of strange, I woke up with watery eyes today. That's not one of the topics though. The Bible has a lot to say about your eyes, your sight, or your vision. And I guess one of the funniest things you'll ever see in your life is Oral Roberts putting on his eyeglasses to read his text as he preaches on how God wants everyone to be in perfect health. Kind of strange, don't you think? But this whole body wears out, and the eyes begin to go, and when the sight of the eyes go, it affects every other part of the body and affects the function of the rest of the body. And the Bible has a lot to say about the eyes. As a matter of fact, there are 7 types of eyes and 7 types of vision that are set forth in the pages of the Bible. Let's look here. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse number 7. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. I call this message a trip to the eye doctor. For all you nurses, medical people, we'll call it a trip to the ophthalmologist. All right, but the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 11:7, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. A pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Truly the light is sweet, it says. And let's be honest about it this morning. Aren't you thankful to God that you can see? Aren't you thankful to God that you're not blind and have to have somebody to lead you about by the hand? Aren't you thankful to God today that when you got up this morning, you said, oh, what a beautiful day. And you knew that because you could see it and you could observe it. I don't know about you, but I thank my God for the sight of my eyes. I appreciate a healthy eye. Now, you know, God made the light. There's no question about that. And God parted the light in such a way that that light would somehow shine upon and reflect from all the things that he had made. And then God made this eye, this marvelous, this incredible eye, to break down that light, to break it into colors and to shapes and to patterns and all the rest of that. And it's a marvelous creation of God, this eye, that we can see the marvelous creation of God. You can say what you want about science and technology and all that sort of thing, but they haven't yet figured out a way to restore sight to the blind. With all their computers and all their advancements in knowledge and all of their learning and all of their understanding, if you took the greatest minds living on the face of the earth today and put them all together and gave them unlimited material resources, they could not restore the sight to one pair of blind eyes in this world. They can't do it. That eye, that vision, that connection between the eye and the brain, that connection between the eye, the brain, and the light, that connection between the eye, the brain, the light, and creation, that is a miracle of Almighty God. And if you're here this morning and you can see me on the screen in front of you, that is evidence and proof to you that there is a greater power in this universe than science, than education, than technology, than medicine, and that's God Almighty. And you've got living proof right before your eyes this morning. The fact that you can see is evidence that there is an Almighty Creator in this universe whose ways are superior to that of man individually and man as a whole. The healthy eye, the healthy eye. You won't appreciate good eyesight until you begin to lose it. Amen. You won't appreciate that your eyes are functioning properly until they cease to function properly. I'm going to tell you something. You've got two eyes, If you got two eyes, you use them for the honor and the glory of God. Okay? You ought to use them to read God's word. You ought to use them to look for lost souls. You ought to use them to behold the wonders of God's creation. You ought to use them to look out for people that you can help and be a blessing to. God gave us these eyes, and let me ask you, what are you reading with them? Okay? God gave us these eyes, what are you looking at with them? God gave us these eyes, what are you beholding? What are you gazing upon? Amen. I find it interesting that God made the eyes round, spherical. He didn't make them rectangular like a TV set. He made them round so that we could look out into this world, look out into this earth that God created, and behold the things of God, the wonderful things of God. Listen, what are we doing with the life that God has given us? What are we doing with the gifts God has given us? What are we doing with the miracles that God has performed in our life? The miracle of sight, so that we could walk out in this world, see lost sinners, look into our pocket and find a gospel tract and place it into the hand of lost sinners.
Are you recording? Because it doesn't look like
God has given us the sight of our eyes so that we could read his word, read that hymn book, see the needs of those round about us, and thank God for our healthy eyes. Thank God for the sight of the eyes today. All right, let's go to the next stop in the Bible, Revelation chapter 6 and John chapter number 3. Revelation chapter 6 and John 3. We had, first of all, the healthy eye. Next in our Bible, we find the diseased eye. The diseased eye. Revelation chapter 6. And, you know, I don't want to read the whole chapter here, but the Bible says, look at verse 15, Revelation chapter 6, verse number 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? All right, just going to leave that there, but keep it in your mind. Now go to John chapter 3. These two go together. They're hiding from the light of the Lord as he appears. John chapter 3, verse number 19. John 3:19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. When the eye is healthy and functioning as God intended it to function, you enjoy stepping out of your bedchamber, walking out of your front door, entering into the beautiful world that God has made. You can't wait to see what God has put before you for that particular day. But when the eye begins to suffer from some injury, some disease, disorder, or ailment, when the eye begins to go bad, it hurts you to step out into the light. It brings you pain to behold what once brought you great joy and gladness. You begin to put on the sunglasses, or you begin to put on the baseball cap, anything to shield your eyes. If the eye gets bad enough, there's some sort of a patch or a covering that you'll put on it to completely seal it off from the light. That's not a healthy eye. There's nothing wrong with the light. It hasn't changed. But something has gone wrong with the eye. And because the eye is diseased, because the eye is malfunctioning, it no longer appreciates, it no longer desires the light. As a matter of fact, it tries to hide from the light. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the light of the world, amen? He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. He's coming again in power and glory to set up a kingdom where there's no need of sun, no need of moon, no need of stars. The Lamb of God is the light of that world. And we sing, oh, that Jesus would come today. We sing, what if it were today? Hallelujah. Jesus might come. But do you realize there's people in this world who are so wicked in their ways of looking at things, so perverse in the ways that they see things, so crooked and perverse in the way that they look upon God's creation, that if they knew Jesus Christ was coming today, they would hide. They would begin to dig in the earth. They would rather die under an avalanche than see Jesus Christ. Someone says, I don't believe Jesus Christ would send anybody to hell. There are people in this world that hated Jesus Christ so bad, they'd rather go to hell than go to heaven and see Jesus. You say, I don't believe that. I tell you, it's God's honest truth. Here's the word of God that'll tell you how to be blessed, tell you how to be happy, how to enjoy life, how to have a sober mind, how to have a happy family. And yet people would rather read pornography and pulp trash than the word of God. So don't tell me they'd rather go to heaven than to hell. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's the living water. And people would rather drink liquor and destroy their families than drink of the living waters of Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. And they'd rather feed on dope and heroin and cocaine than feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. They'd rather have a lie. He is the way. They'd rather walk in perversion. He is the life. They'd rather kill and murder and steal and all that kind of stuff. Don't tell me that they'd rather be in heaven than hell. They would hide in the dens and caves of the earth because their eyes are diseased. God intended you to look out through these eyes and behold the glories and wonders of his creation, Romans 1. And as you beheld the creation, to turn your eyes heavenward and behold your God and your Creator. But man afflicted by the eye disease brought about by sin in his heart and in his life, he hates the light and he would rather dwell in darkness than dwell in the light. You walk up to a man and you say, you need to be saved. He shuts his eyes as tightly as he can shut them and he says, I just don't see it that way. You say, well, look right here. I can show you in the Bible. He says, I don't want to see that. Leave me alone. You know why? Because he knows if he looks at that Bible, it's going to tell him he's a sinner. And that he needs to repent, and somebody's got to save him from the wicked life that he's living. And because he loves the darkness and loves the sin, he will shut his eyes to the light of God's truth. Because this, when I say this, this light hurts his eyes. And hey, if you had eye trouble and somebody burst into your room in the middle of the night and shined a floodlight in your eyes, would you appreciate that? Would you thank them for that? No, you wouldn't. You know you wouldn't. So why does it surprise you when lost people respond to your witness with anger? Okay, it's because they have a diseased eye that's affected with sin and wickedness and corruption. And suddenly you come in and you shine the spotlight of the Word of God in their eyes. What do you think they're going to do? You ought to expect it. You think they're going to pat you on the back and thank you? They're not. They're going to cry out in pain and terror and probably curse you for hurting them. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes. All right, look in Matthew chapter 6 now. The diseased eye of sin. Listen, this is the honest truth. Do you know there are people in this world, and they'll tell you, they will say, I don't see anything wrong with homosexuality. Do you know why they don't see anything wrong with it? Because there's something wrong with their eyes. They say, I don't see anything wrong with drinking. Do you know why they say that? Because there's something wrong with their eyes. You say, I don't see anything wrong with cursing and swearing. You know why? There's something wrong with their eyes. And you stand there and say, oh yes, you do see it. No, they don't see it. They don't see it any more than that blind man saw the curb that he tripped over. They don't see it. Something is really wrong with their eyes. Now look here, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 22. Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? There's a preacher, he's got what they call a wild eye. He's got one eye that looks straight on and one that looks off to the right. So I guess straight on and to the right, if you can imagine that. But this preacher, he said that's a real advantage for him. He says, when I stand up to preach, everybody thinks I'm looking at them. He said, I got the whole congregation covered. Now, that's something to think about. Ulysses S. Grant, his wife was cross-eyed, okay, and he finally got the money together to get them corrected, and she begged him and begged him to let her get her eyes corrected, but he said, in the end, he said, no, I like them that way. It's distinctive, cross-eyed, and he wouldn't let her get her eyes corrected, but listen, if you've got one good eye and you've got one eye that's all messed up, that is going to affect your entire field of vision. You don't have to have both eyes bad. You just have to have one bad eye for that to affect all of your vision. Suppose you had double vision today. You couldn't focus. You could not focus. Your balance would be thrown off. Your depth perception would be affected. If both of your eyes are not working in harmony, you need correction. Some of you, I see you're wearing eyeglasses, but maybe only one of your eyes is bad. Okay? But that one bad eye affected your entire field of vision. And so you needed correction. Amen. Now, you know what's wrong with our churches today? We've got people that want to keep one eye on Jesus and one eye on the world. They want to keep one eye on righteousness and one eye on sin. They want to keep one eye on the narrow way and one eye on the broad way. Not realizing it only takes one bad eye to throw all your vision out of balance. It only takes one bad eye to destroy your depth perception. It only takes one bad eye to confuse your mind regarding everything that you're looking at. Here's how it works. Just take it or leave it. This is how it works. Thursday afternoon, the boys and girls, they're watching Murder Incorporated on the TV or something. Thursday evening, the boys and girls, they're watching the striptease dancers on the sitcom. And Thursday night, they're watching the rock and roll show. But not to worry, because we're going to wake them up Friday morning and bring them to church. And their teacher will teach them all about Jesus. And that will, that'll what? That keep one eye straight while the other eye is crooked? Okay? They're still not going to be able to focus. They're still going to be unable to perceive the proper depth. They're still going to be unable to maintain proper balance. You cannot live with one good eye and one bad eye. Amen. That doesn't work. Mess up your vision. There are adults here today, and you've got your church personality, you know, who you are when you're in the church house with the brethren, and your church demeanor, how you act among the brethren. You got your church language, church conversation, church jokes. But would we know you if we went and observed you on your job? On the job, you got your worldly demeanor, you got your worldly personality, a worldly language, and your worldly jokes. You're just a wonderful chameleon. You can blend in wherever you go. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot get a proper focus in church because you got one eye on the world. And you can't get proper focus out in the world either because you got one eye on the church. And your life is going to be evil, even with your dose of Bible reading and your dose of church attendance and your dose of hearing the preaching, because you've got one eye working properly, but the other eye, man, it's all messed up. That's the truth. That's the truth. Well, would you want to drink a glass of water that was half pure and half poison? Would you want to eat a plate of food that was half healthy and half rotten? Would you want to view the world, half of it looking through God's word, and half of it through the newspapers and magazines and Hollywood and Netflix and YouTube and all the influence that they have? Well, that's exactly what we're dealing with. That's Christianity today. One eye on the Bible, one eye in the world. That's Christianity today. And God said that produces evil lives. There isn't any sin going on in this world that won't be justified in some pulpit on a Sunday morning. That's the truth. Bill Clinton, he called up a church one time to congratulate them for the great work they were doing in feeding the poor and homeless people. Well, you know, every president's got to do that every Thanksgiving or something like that. Good public relations. But do you know what church he called? Which one he called? Blythe Memorial Fruitcake Assembly in San Francisco. Say, why did he pick that one? I don't know, he probably let Janet Reno pick the one she liked. She had it on speed dial. But listen, the pastor of that church is going to stand in the pulpit and say that perversion and sodomy and everything that God condemns in the Holy Bible is acceptable in the eyes of God. He's going to stand in the pulpit and say that. There will be men standing in pulpits, and they're going to justify adultery, fornication, and drinking, and all that kind of stuff. You say, why? Because their vision is all messed up because it's divided. They're cross-eyed. They got double vision, and they can't see anything the way that they should. Amen. How are your eyes today? Are they single? Or are they double? All right, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second 2 Peter chapter 1. Some of you here, you are nearsighted. Okay? I thank the Lord I was able to correct my vision about 15 years ago, and it's been good ever since. I'm going to be 59 in April and haven't needed eyeglasses yet, so I'm thankful for that. But I used to be nearsighted, so I know what it's like. That means I could read without glasses. I had excellent vision close up, but I couldn't see anything clearly from a distance. So let's talk about the imperfect eye. This is the nearsighted Christian. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This man's nearsighted. He can't see the big picture. He can't see at any distance. This is the Christian who says, well, thank God I'm saved. I see that Jesus Christ has come into my life and saved my soul from hell. But he can't see that the actions today affect his church tomorrow. He can't see that the actions of today will be met at the judgment seat of Christ. This is the Christian who justifies any and every sin by saying, bless God, hallelujah, I'm saved by grace, I have eternal life, I'm going to heaven, so it doesn't matter how I live. All he can see is what's right in front of his face. He can't see one block down the road. What you do today with regard to your pastor and your brothers and sisters and your church will determine whether or not your children are in church when they are adults. What you do today with your boss man and your bank account and your bills will determine how many groceries you've got on the table when you retire. What you do today with your time and your talents and your gifts and your abilities will determine what you receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't fail the eye test. Don't be nearsighted. Look beyond the present hour. Look beyond the present day. Don't just see the sweet now and now. Also see the sweet by and by. What you do today affects tomorrow. Too many Christians, they got the short view. Well, I went out there yesterday and talked to somebody about the Lord. Didn't do any good, so I'm not going to do that anymore. What about tomorrow? What about our church if nobody talks to people about the Lord? What about our nations if nobody preaches the gospel? What about our judgment if we fail to do what God has told us to do? Never mind just today. What about the long view? Amen. The imperfect eye can't see into the distance. Now look at Acts chapter 28. This will be the closed eye. Acts chapter 28, verse number 27. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, contrary to these extreme doctrines of predestination that are going on today to excuse a dead church and a failing ministry, this group of people that are being spoken of in Acts chapter 28, they are the Hebrew people, the Jews. God, you know the history of the Jews. God gave them the law. God gave them the sacrifices. God gave them the prophets. God gave them a Messiah. God gave them apostles. God gave them a New Testament witness. And every single time, God, as he tried to show them the light, God watched as they closed their eyes. God didn't close their eyes. They closed their eyes. The devil didn't close their eyes. They closed their eyes. And all around this world today, people are turning up and down the radio dial in their car. They hear a preacher. As soon as they hear that preacher, maybe they don't know what he's saying, but they know a preacher when they hear one. And they quickly turn the dial, quickly push a button, anything to change that station. Get away from that preaching. Get away from that preacher as quick as they can. Some will sit at home on a Sunday afternoon and exercise their thumb on that remote control, going from channel to channel, and maybe by some miracle of God, somebody will be on there preaching, and they won't stay there very long. They'll move on to the next channel. Someone will be on a street corner preaching the word of God. And as people travel to and from work, pass by that preacher on the street, they'll roll up their window, turn up the radio. Someone will try to hand them a gospel tract. There will be an invitation to church in the newspaper. All the days of their life, God makes attempt after attempt after attempt to rescue that soul from hell. And they close their eyes and they say, I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't see where I'm wrong. I don't see that I need anything. They close their eyes to the truth. Amen. Now, there are three ways of excluding the light, blinding the eyes, closing the eyes through unbelief or prejudice as the first way. Closing the eyes by contraction, that is, you don't shut your eyes all the way, but you sure do narrow down that your vision to where you can only see what you want to see. And then by actually closing your eyes. Some people approach the Bible, they approach a church service, they approach a Christian witness, and they've already decided what they're going to see and not see. And they wonder why they can't see the truth of the Bible. You ever showed somebody 10 verses that to you they were just as plain as day and they really proved something? And the person you're trying to show that to, you think there's going to be a light bulb come on over their head. No, they want to run you over to some verse that you wonder if even God understands. Now, I'm sure that he does. It's his word, but you know what I mean. I mean, you read that verse and you say, the one that they're trying to show you, and you say, well, that'll take a million years to figure that thing out. They say, well, I just don't see it that way. You know what? Do you know why they don't see it that way? They decided before they ever opened the Bible that they were exactly what they were going to believe and not believe. That's why they don't see it that way. And then they squint and they narrow their eyes, narrow their vision down, and they put the blinders on and they say, well, there were only 5 people in that church. That's all I saw, you know, and there was a room full. But they determined beforehand what they would allow themselves to see and what they wouldn't. And that's the kind of thing that's going on all the time. Now, I want to ask you something. When you come into the church and you say, thank God we've got a Bible-believing church and a preacher that stands up and preaches the Bible. Let me ask you something, though. Are there some things that you've already decided before you even walked through the door of the church that you're just not going to pay any attention to? You've decided what you're going to let God show you about your life, And if Brother Bob brings up some of those other things that you've already decided are not important, you're just not going to see it. Well, I just don't see it the way he sees it. Do you know why? Because you have purposed in your heart not to see it. Amen. Do you think that Church of Christ elder, now these are some good examples here. Do you think that Church of Christ elder, do you think that he can see what the Bible says about water baptism? He's been trained not to see it. He can't see it. Do you think that Jehovah's Witness, do you think he can see the deity of Christ as plain as it is in the Holy Bible? No, he's been trained not to see it. Do you think that charismatic can see what the Bible really says about tongues? He's been trained not to see it. And then there are some people, some of you love God, you love the Bible, but you've trained yourself not to see certain parts of this book. Things that you, and there are things that you just don't want to live. And that's how we are. Pharaoh said to Moses, "You can go, but don't go very far." Moses came back and said, "We're going all the way." Pharaoh said, "All right, you can go all the way, but you can't take your children with you." Moses said, "We're going all the way, we're taking the children, and you better move, buddy, because there's no limits to this thing. We're going as far as God is going to take us." And that's what we need in our hearts. If I got to throw some baggage off the camels along the way, I'll do it. But me and this camel, we're going all the way. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians 4 and John chapter 9. Second Corinthians 4 and John chapter 9. Now suppose that I was mean enough, for example, to bring up the Easter Bunny. That's the next thing coming up on the calendar, I think. Suppose I was such a bad guy as to say there wasn't any Easter Bunny. Do you know that there are some people that would say, "Thank God, glory to God, hallelujah, what a great church, but I'm not coming back because I don't want my kids to hear that there's not an Easter Bunny." You say, nobody would do that. Oh, yes, they would. People have done that. Ask you, you check it out next time you go to another church. And do you know why they do that? Because they are people who have decided before they opened their Bible what parts of the Bible they wanted to see and what parts of the Bible they didn't want to see. That is willfully closing your eyes to the truth that God has for you. But relax, I'm not going to say anything else about that. But if you were afraid that I was going to say something, your fear certainly illustrates the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So again, notice, Satan can't blind until the person has made a willful decision to close their eyes and not believe the gospel. Now go to John chapter 9. Verse number 39. John 9:39. John chapter 9, verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which might see, but that they which see not, I'll get it. That they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. How does the eye become blinded? Well, some people lose their vision because they've been wounded. God help us that we never injure someone to the point that they are blinded to the gospel that we're preaching. It happens. Some people are blinded because they're wounded. Maybe it's accidental, but they're still blind. Some people are blinded by cataract. Slowly and gradually, the vision goes so bad that they lose their sight altogether, eventually. Amen? When a cataract gets that bad, you can either have a painful surgery or you can just accept that you're blind, and then there's not much left that you can accomplish. But you've probably all seen somebody that's had the cataract completely cover the eye and the vision is lost. There are people right out there in this world, and they're not all at once going to lose their spiritual vision and drop into hell. But day by day, minute by minute, it gets harder and harder and harder to reach them with the gospel. If you know someone who got saved past 50 years old, they're one of the miracles of the 21st century, because there's not many people that age that get saved. There aren't many men that get saved past 60, 70, or 80. But listen, the longer you live, the harder it is to see as clearly as you did in your youth. Thirdly, you can lose your vision by a judgment of God. You say, well, I've got plenty of time. You know, I'll get saved one of these days. There's no hurry. One of these days I'll get right with God. Well, one day God may step in and take your sight away and you'll never see again. He might do that. And then, you know, this is true. Some men become blind as a consequence of dwelling too long in the darkness. You can live so long in the dark that you completely lose your sight. Do you ever thank God that He stepped in and saved your soul when He did? There have been people who stood up and said, If God hadn't saved me when He did, I might be dead now. You might be worse than dead. You might be alive, but unable to see the truth. God's truth. Amen. Now notice, God sends light into the world. God makes the spiritual eye capable of beholding the light. When the eye refuses to behold the light and is closed against the light, well, the next step is blindness, where the eye cannot see the light. So if you're here today and you say, well, I probably could see those things, but I just don't want to, you are just one step away from total blindness and being unable to see, even if you wanted to. You don't play with God. You don't play around with spiritual things. And then look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Finally, here's the open eye. Show you the open eye and then the three results of the open eye, and then we'll finish up there. Ephesians chapter number 1. A trip to the eye doctor. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, he's praying for these believers, Paul is here, and he says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he says, I'm praying for the Christians. I'm praying for the believers that the eyes of your understanding might receive all the light that God made those eyes to receive. Isn't that good? God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Clear up my vision. Make my vision perfect and whole that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open my eyes. Show me. And you mean it. And what are the results of the opened eye? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The opened eye is capable of discerning spiritual truth. The opened eye is capable of discerning spiritual truth. Amen. Now, I know what it's like to visit a country where I don't know the language. I go to the Philippines with my wife. It's been a while, but I remember. She'll be sitting there talking with her family members in their language, and I'll be sitting alone with nobody to talk to. And I'd hear them laugh and naturally assume they're laughing at me. But I don't know what they were saying. But you know something? When you get around somebody speaking a language that you don't know, and you say, that sounds strange, that sounds peculiar, I don't know what they're talking about. Did you know that's just exactly the way Bible teaching sounded to you before you got saved? Isn't that the truth? I can remember that. Somebody stood up in a church, maybe they were drawing a chart, maybe an Old Testament, New Testament timeline. You said, you know, and that person's up there saying, this point's back here, this point's up here, this comes around, this brings this together here, and you're just looking at it, your eyes are going cross-eyed, and you don't have the slightest idea in the world what that guy's talking about. God has to open your eyes to show you the truth, or else you can't see it. Now that is a fact. That's a fact. God has to show you the truth, or you can't get it. Well, how many of you were in a church for more than 6 months before you got saved? Any kind of a church. Well, why didn't you get saved the first time you went in there? Because God had to reveal that truth to you. As soon as he saw in your heart that there was a willingness to believe, a desire to believe, he opened your eyes to that truth of salvation. Now that you're saved, when God sees in your heart a willingness to learn, he'll teach you. When God sees in your heart a willingness to go deeper, he'll take you deeper. When God sees in your heart a willingness to conform your life to the image of Jesus Christ, he'll show you how to do it. It's a willing heart, an open eye that's able to see and to discern spiritual truth. I believe with all my heart, if you want to see something from the Word of God, God will open your eyes so that you can see it, because God knows whether or not you want to see it. And God knows whether you mean business or not, or if it's for some other wrong motive. Okay? If you tell God that you will try your best to live according to his word and to proclaim his words, he knows if you really mean it or not. And if you do mean it, he'll equip you so that you can. He'll open your eyes to see the truth of the Bible. He'll show you all you want. He'll show you all you'll take in. He'll show you show you all you'll apply to your life. There's no limit to it if you want it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You say, well, I'm up in years. There's no sense in studying now. Oh, yeah? Moses said, I'm 80 years old. There's no sense in starting preaching now. God gave him 40 more years. You don't know when God's going to take you home. I'd hate to say, well, he's coming tomorrow, so I'm not going to do anything. And then 5 years later, I still hadn't done anything. Amen. Get going. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I've mentioned to you before, this Bible is not a window that you look through and see other people through this window. No, this Bible is a mirror, and you, as you look in there, you're seeing yourself, okay? It's kind of a strange thing, but listen, Moses, he went up on the mountain, and he was face to face with God. And when he came down off the mountain, his face was radiating with the glory of God. And he didn't even know it. Moses didn't even know it. Do you know what that Bible says? It says, if you will go into this book, this holy book, with your eyes and your mind and your heart wide open, and stay there beholding Jesus Christ, that the glory of the Lord that's contained in these pages will be transferred to your life and to your countenance. Look at it. Look at verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's a looking glass, a mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, I open my Bible and I say, God, show me Jesus Christ. God, no matter how this book reflects on me, I want to see the truth. Show me the truth. And the more that you stay face to face with the glory of God and the Word of God, the more the likeness of Jesus Christ is transferred to your life. Isn't that something? Garbage in, garbage out. Glory in, glory out. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Here's a couple of verses I bet every one of you knows. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. That would include your eyes and your mind, wouldn't it? Sure does. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. If I am beholding the things of God, well, I can't help but be shaped that way. If I'm beholding the things of this world, I can't help but be influenced that way. All right, so you have the healthy eye, the diseased eye, the evil eye, the imperfect eye, the closed eye, the blind eye, and the open eye. Let's finish up in Revelation chapter 3. A message written to the church, a church of this generation. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14. Revelation 3:14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Okay, that means we're not all out for the world, because no, that wouldn't be right. But we're not all out for God. That's just too far. That's farther than we want to go. Well, that's the church in the last days. That's the church today. He says, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It makes God sick. Now, we're part of his body. We can't be separated from his body. But what we bring to God will be rejected because it's lukewarm. It's neither cold nor hot. Watch verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. All right, you know what makes God sick? The fact that we think we don't need a message like this. The fact that we can sit there and say, well, I don't know why he's talking to me about this. Why is he talking to me that way? That's what makes God sick. We can't see our own condition. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You're not seeing right. You need to fix that. Can you see in a message like this some room for some growth and improvement in your spiritual life? If you can't see it, you better get to Dr. Jesus and get some eye medicine, because you're just about blind. The church in Laodicea, you know what God said was their biggest problem? It was not their poor spiritual condition. It's the fact that they couldn't see their poor spiritual condition. It was not that they were not what they should have been. It was that they couldn't see that they were not what they should have been. God help us. Never mind when you look at me, how do I look? When you look at you, how do you look? When I look at my life, how does it look? How's the vision? Is it 20/20? Or is it getting a little shaky in that right eye? Getting a little blurry in that left eye? Or have you been asleep so long you can't hardly stand to open the eyes anymore? God help us. God help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to recognize that possibly there is a problem that we're just refusing to see. Lord, help us to have a heart that wants your truth, that wants to see it and receive it and believe it and apply it and do it, Lord, and become what you would have us to become as we love your truth. As every time we open the Word of God and it hurts us some way, Lord, help us to receive it and believe it and change according to the ways your Word shows us is right and true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.